Welcome back to Money Mania, where we're talking tax season and what to do with that refund. If you really want your tax refund to have a positive impact, I'm bullish on Ohio's 529 plan. I always say, invest in something you love. Well, there's nothing we love more than our kids. So invest in their future and let your tax refund help. For as little as $25, you can get started today at collegeadvantage.com.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Sometimes our commander-in-chief, ideally upholder of the law, fails to inspire us. Take the 1970s.
Well, I'm not a crook.
Or the 90s.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
And now the 21st century.
I'm an extremely stable genius.
You're about to hear two attorneys make sense out of a legal system some say is a train wreck. Here are Royal Oaks and Connor Oaks. This is Too Many Lawyers.
This is Too Many Lawyers. I'm Royal Oaks.
And I'm Connor Oaks.
And Connor, we got two big topics as usual here, plus guess the verdict. Topic number one, is Alec Baldwin a victim of reverse celebrity justice?
Dun, dun, dun.
I can't believe how much of an Alec Baldwin fan I've become ever since he was indicted.
But before that, not so much a fan in agreement with his politics.
I got steam coming out of my ears. Issue number two. Will the sighting of a transgender woman's penis at a San Diego YWCA change the debate over trans rights? Now,
maybe.
That's a mouthful, and we're going to explore it when we get to topic number two. And the guess the verdict topic today, where I give Connor the real-life facts of a real case, and he gets to guess the outcome, it's the case of the philanderer versus the phone company. So we have that to look forward to at the very end of the podcast. All right, topic number one. Is Alec Baldwin a victim of reverse celebrity justice? So celebrity justice, you know, that's what people point to and say, well, that's why O.J. Simpson was found not guilty.
Right.
And why, you know, Robert Blake was found not guilty, even though he clearly killed his wife with a big old gun in the San Fernando Valley.
Sure, or Michael Jackson or anybody else opinion. That people believe is generally, he got away with something because he has so many fans. Yeah. Because
well,
people
it was amazing when you think about the Michael Jackson case. The evidence was indisputed that he slept in the home of and in the bedroom of this, 13-year-old boy in the Valley for like 100 nights over the course of a year, 6 months or whatever. And yet the jury found him not guilty. So maybe that was celebrity justice at work. Who knows?
And maybe the parents of that kid somehow had some celebrity justice going on, given that they didn't end up in the slammer.
I think they threw him to the wolves. Yeah. It was all about,
incredible.
Michael, and it was incredible. So reverse celebrity justice. I'm a little concerned that the district attorney in the fine state of New Mexico may be going after Alec Baldwin because he's a celebrity, so that she, being very big on, quote, nobody's above the law, and also she told the world 3 months ago that after a year of investigation, I'm thinking of charging several people, including Alec Baldwin. Excuse me? Is that what DAs do? You have a press conference to say, oh, here's just a little update, ladies and gentlemen of the press and public everywhere. I'm thinking about it, and in particular, boy, don't you think I'm not going to go after Alec Baldwin?
It's a page out of the James Comey book.
I'm
thinking about charging Hillary. I don't know.
Exactly.
I know it's 5 days before the election, but I'm going to do it.
I don't think this DA bumbled quite the way James Comey did in July with the big press conference. Oh, you know, we looked into it. No, there's nothing there. And then a week before the election in October, you know, there might be something
psych.
There. Well, you got some Anthony Weiner pictures and stuff in the laptop. That was pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm concerned that her decision to charge Alec Baldwin may not have been fair, or did she feel she had to follow up on the whole, well, nobody's above the law thing, and I'm thinking about charging the big guy. If she doesn't charge the big guy, people could easily say, oh, well, ma'am, you know, what was going on there? So let's take a quick look at the charges and see if we can figure out if they were true or apply. I mean, basically, they charged him with involuntary manslaughter.
Right.
And, of course, whenever this happens, people are always asking, manslaughter, what exactly, you know, heat of passion or whatever? Well, no. I mean, there's murder, which is murder 1 and 2, and murder is intent to kill. That's murder one. Murder two is the intent to kill, but you didn't really intend it. You just absolutely recognized the danger of it, but didn't care. That's murder two. Now right. We come to manslaughter. If it's voluntary manslaughter, it's, you know, you get in the car, you know you're drunk, you're putting other people at risk, or there's a heat of passion. Now we come to Alec Baldwin, involuntary manslaughter. You killed, you did not intend to kill, you did it as a result of recklessness and gross negligence.
Right.
Was it really recklessness, gross negligence, for Alec Baldwin to rely on the assistant director who said, cold gun,
yeah.
cold gun.
I mean, this comes down to the fundamental instruction that every attorney and legal watcher, of course, will tell you, reserve judgment, right? Wait. We don't know yet. We don't know the facts yet. There may well be facts that the prosecutors know that they're not disclosing at this point that will come out in the trial, right. And we will all go, oh,
well, they do know them because Alec told them to George Stephanopoulos on ABC.
Yeah, there's a little bit of that. Yeah, it's true. And we do know certainly more about this case than we do about many other cases. And it's okay for us to discuss, you know, the facts that we do know, especially from the horse's mouth himself, right. Alec, in terms of what he told us. You can construe, when somebody tells you the story that they believe exonerates them, you can say, well, okay, given if we assume Alec is right about all that, then what's the outcome? What's the result, right? So there are two factors, I think, that are not in the knowledge of the ordinary, the lay person who ordinarily, you know, watches movies but doesn't really know how they're made, that might go into our calculus and that we should think about here, right? One, Alec Baldwin was a producer on this movie. And a lot of people don't know what the title producer means. But producer usually means you're funding the thing, right? And you get a producer credit as a result of that. But when you are the
Or you're involved
actor,
in the logistics of putting it together,
right,
hiring and
right.
So.
When you're the actor starring in it, that's another element of the movie that makes it more likely that you had sort of command and control of the situation. When you're Alec Baldwin, the biggest name on the entire set, the biggest name of any of the producers, the biggest name in the whole situation, you're carrying the whole movie. This is an Alec Baldwin production. Literally, you're the producer. You have responsibility, and you are going to be, at the end of the day, the buck stops with you, right?
Right?
So that's the argument, or one argument that can be made to say Alec Baldwin is in some way responsible for bad or dangerous things that happen on set, right? Even if they're done by other people. Because if you hire somebody, we don't know yet. We don't know whether Alec, you know, called and hired this armorer, right? Whether they hired the person who hired this armorer.
You're,
we don't
you're
know
right.
these facts yet, right?
You're right. But the fact that we don't know it
right.
probably means he had a Zippo to do with the hiring
of
the armorer.
Probably didn't have a lot of
specific. And I think the DA would have leaked information to us to support their position.
They often do.
Her position here is that there was a, quote, pattern of criminal disregard for safety on the Rust film set. Now, I can see if you sued Alec and said, hey, you're a producer as a matter of law, you're vicariously liable, you are responsible for bad stuff that happens. I get it. If you're going to charge him with manslaughter,
right.
I would say she better have some evidence that he knew of or in some way was responsible for the, quote, pattern of criminal disregard for safety on the Rust film set.
Right.
Because if all she's got is his name was there as producer.
Yeah.
I don't think that's fair, and I don't think a jury is going to go against
I don't
against
think it's
him.
Enough. I'll bet you anything he's not the only producer who's involved.
Oh, they always
in
have
movie.
Multiple
of
producers.
Of course, right? And the question is, at what point do we start saying that Alec might be being targeted because he is a big name and because, you know, people don't, as you put it, don't want observers to think that somebody's above the law just because they're rich and powerful and famous.
Right.
Sure. The other important element that we should I as a lawyer didn't learn this stuff in law school, but since the Rust shooting happened, I have done a little bit of light research on the matter and have learned some of the logistics of how guns are treated on sets. Mm-hmm. You have an armorer who is responsible for the care and maintenance of guns on set and for supplying them to actors when the actors need to carry them around or fire them or whatever else. And when they do that, they have very specific procedures that the Screen Actors Guild and you know, the AFL-CIO and other organizations have rules for how people on their sets that are managed by them, how they handle these dangerous items. Because mm-hmm. guns on movie sets don't just look real. They very often have explosive material inside of them to be able to create muzzle flashes and have sound that is exactly contemporaneous and that other actors and people on scene react to in an organic way. Other people, editors, a lot of editors after the shooting came out and said, this should be a wake-up call for everybody. We've got the tech. You don't need guns that go off on set anymore. You can have fake guns that with no explosive material
look absolutely like real guns, but can't shoot, right?
That can't shoot, and you can add all of the smoke and bang and flash and everything else in post. And people respond to that and go, well, how are the actors going to react when the gun is going click, 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 instead of going bang? You can have a speaker on set that says bang, right, if you really want, right? At the exact opportune time, right?
Yep.
You can figure this out. So that's what some people said about this. The other, you know, arguments that were made about this is that procedure is it's incumbent on the person who's going to be pulling the trigger to make sure that all the dots, the I's are dotted and all the T's are crossed. So is it fully and completely within Baldwin's control to, when the armorer hands him a gun and says it's a cold gun, to look at the bullets, and in this case it was a shot of a revolver where the bullets are exposed because of the nature of the revolver's chamber that spins. The camera has to see that there are bullets inside. No, you can add them in post. But they didn't want to. They wanted the camera to show the bullets inside. Okay, so they have to look real. They can't be brightly colored and fake looking or made of plastic. They have to look real for the camera. So then,
and that's a weak part of the case, I think, because a lot of people have reported that actors are not trained to physically examine the bullets themselves. They aren't really qualified to know whether something is a dummy or not.
Right.
Some people say, well, then you should call the armorer and say, I've just been told by the assistant director that
right.
this is a cold gun.
Right.
I want you to show me with my yeah. own eyes that this is, in fact, a cold gun.
Yeah.
My impression is that people don't do that. George Clooney says
yeah.
that Alec was wrong not to do that,
yeah.
but really, well, is that going to go with a jury?
Well, that's the thing. If you have a pattern in practice in Hollywood where they say, hey, there's a procedure for this. When you're using a realistic bullet that has to go onto a gun for a cinematic reason, there's a procedure. You take the bullet out and you shake it, and there's an audible noise from a ball bearing bouncing around inside the fake bullet that
yep.
proves this is not packed with gunpowder. It's fake. Then you put it back in the gun and you load it into the chamber. Now you know that bullet will not fire.
And did Roy Rogers really do that?
Yeah, that's the question. Is there too much pressure from the directors and the assistant directors and the sun going down and the light guy and the boom operator and everybody's wanting to go to craft services and get lunch and, oh my God, just click, you know, just pull the trigger, buddy, and we'll move on to the next take. It's not a real gun. Come on.
Right.
Now, the problem is it is a real gun, and there's a lot of pressure to move, but who is that pressure coming from? Let's bring it full circle. The producers of the movie, mm-hmm. which is Alec Baldwin.
Yeah.
So the question is there a pattern? Do actors usually disregard it? Are they kind of forced to disregard it? And if so, by whom?
Good
is
questions.
It maybe by Alec?
I have another pattern I want to talk to you about. The
uh-huh.
pattern of district attorneys wanting to be attorneys general and then wanting to be governor
yeah.
and then wanting to be president. I'm just saying. The other reason I'm a little
real.
Suspicious is the prosecutors chose to advance two involuntary manslaughter charges against Baldwin. One,
mm-hmm.
the regular one, which is 18 months in jail or
right.
prison in New Mexico. And then there's the gun enhancement manslaughter charge that is a 5-year deal.
Whoa.
Now, they, for whatever reason, the prosecutors are choosing to give both choices to the jury. Prosecutors could just say, I only want the little one or I only want the big one.
Yeah.
This is kind of weird. It's almost like it's inviting him to do a plea bargain.
Mm.
Like he's saying to himself, well, you know, let's think more about the 18 months and
yeah.
maybe I'd do a year in jail, because you know he is going to have an adamant opposition to any time in jail.
Of course.
It's a plea bargain, because I think he sees himself as a guy like Johnny Depp who can talk his way out of this.
Oh, absolutely.
He obviously thought he could talk his way out of it before, but now in front of a jury, he probably, being a good actor, a charismatic guy, popular guy, and a kind of a flaky case, I would go to Vegas and bet money on Alec Baldwin at this
Agreed.
Point. All right, so we are going to move on to topic number two, but first, Connor is going to tell you how to rate and subscribe to Too Many Lawyers.
Yeah, check us out on your podcast platform of choice. I know I say that every week, but you really can get us anywhere on Stitcher or Spotify or Apple Podcasts or Podcast Addict, anywhere that uses an RSS feed, we're almost certainly there. And each one of those platforms, we'd appreciate you subscribing to and liking or commenting, leaving those comments makes us feel great. And we check them out and read them, even if they make us shake our fists, but in a lawyerly shaking fist way. That's a normal lawyerly thing.
When we come back, issue 2, will the sighting of a transgender woman's penis at a San Diego YWCA change the debate over trans rights? Stay with us.
Kent State's reputation in the fashion industry is something you would hear from everyone when you're in New York City.
I will say we're quite well known for being hard workers.
Kent is really known for delivering well-rounded students.
Kent has one of the most prestigious fashion programs in the U.S. and also internationally ranked.
Our alumni are in every corner of the industry, every job position that you can imagine.
They all are ready. They have all the courses. They have everything under, you know, and under their belt.
This is Too Many Lawyers. I'm Royal Oaks.
And I'm Conroe.
All right, so the question before the House here is, will the sighting of a transgender woman's penis at a San Diego YWCA change the debate over trans rights? I mean, the debate over rights of transgender people is heating up. A California teen threw kind of a curve into this debate recently, Rebecca Phillips, she's 17. She recalled seeing a naked man, as she referred to this person, in her local YWCA, telling the city council that she'd been traumatized by the experience. She was swimming, and then she goes to the locker room. As I was showering after my workout, I saw a naked male in the women's locker room. Immediately, I went back into the shower terrified, hid behind their flimsy excuse for a curtain until he was gone. She was not impressed with the curtain, the shower curtain. So she says the policy of allowing trans women in the female locker room should be changed. She was worried her 5-year-old sister could be exposed to the naked trans women at the YWCA. She was reprimanded by the staffers who told her the trans woman had every right to be there in the female changing room. Women's facilities may be used by anyone in California now that state law says people must be allowed to use facilities that align with their gender identity that they identify as opposed to what's on their birth certificate. I guess one question I have is, I mean, it seems like the gay marriage ball got rolling and it rolled really fast. And I think transgender activists seem to be trying to follow that business model. And so are we close to a society being fully accepting of people announcing they are now not of the same gender as when they are born? Or am I, you know, is this an inappropriate analogy to the gay rights movement?
I think that as a tipping point, like we saw the gay marriage debate hit a real tipping point where politicians realized there was more positive political equity to be gained from flipping on the matter and saying, oh, my views on the matter have evolved. And, you know, I'm Hillary Clinton. And I used to say that a marriage is between a man and a woman. Yeah, that was in the 90s. And now I want to be president in 2016. And I know that, you know, to win on this issue, I've got to persuade a bunch of progressives to actually come out. So I'm going to say that my views have evolved and changed. And maybe her views did evolve and change. And, you know, God bless her for being open-minded on that front. That's great. I don't think that we're going to get near some sort of tipping point on that front, because all of these trans rights, starting with the bathroom bills on the East Coast in places like North Carolina, and continuing through this narrative that we have that is propped up by conservative news outlets, that, you know, when things are not looking particularly great for conservatives, they trot out the hits. They bring out the trans bathroom bill issues. They bring out the trans people in your locker rooms, flashing your kids' stories. That is going to continue because it's politically profitable. It's very powerful. And the Trumps of the world and the Trump supporters of the world are so much more emboldened now, post-Trump, post-January 6th, post-Charlottesville, post all of these scenarios where the right fascist wing was emboldened by the opportunity to come out of the woodwork and say, we're not going to let you, you know, replace us with a progressive narrative that the world is, you know, becoming nicer and friendlier or whatever. No, you know, my views are back on the table, baby, and I found somebody who I can vote for to push them forward. So we've backslid, but as a country, as a nation, as a sort of society, what we would have thought of as Western society, a total misnomer, a product of white supremacy, no notion, Western society is a meaningless concept. But we have backslid as a mainstream sort of society. We've moved backward, and we're not going to hit a tipping point soon, because I think that all of the people who could tip, who are Democrats or persuadable on that front, have tipped on gay marriage and on trans rights. And unfortunately, there just aren't enough of them to completely squash the public debate on this and say to the people who are still fighting on this issue, who are still anti-trans rights, the Tucker Carlsons of the world out there, there aren't enough people out there, powerful enough people out there to say, you should be ashamed of yourself, Tucker, for what you are doing, what you are poisoning the narrative with, how you are exploiting the most vulnerable among us for fear and political gain to you know, frighten them back into the shadows.
Well, I see your point, but I mean, the reason I made the analogy to gay rights is it seems like there's been a fair amount of progress. I mean, under Obama, there was an executive order banning discrimination against transgender people in employment by the federal government and its contractors.
Yeah, fantastic.
Then we had a law introduced a couple of years ago in Congress, the Equality Act, that would ban discrimination on the basis of gender identity and employment and housing, public accommodation, education. It has not yet passed. We do have over 130 bills introduced in 33 states to regarding the rights of transgender people. So it's something that's being addressed at the local level.
All those bills, we can say maybe half of them are there to affirm trans rights, and the other half are, as you put it, about district attorneys who want to be, you know, attorney general. Right. These are conservative governors of Louisiana and Texas and wherever else, North Carolina, that want to be president.
It isn't always positive in terms of transgender rights. I guess my question is this debate just a way for the right to fight the culture wars? And if so, should the left back off to avoid the risk of elections producing more politicians who will appoint more Clarence Thomas-type judges? Because it seems like when, you know, people go off, whether it's Bill Maher going off on the woke or Tucker Carlson, it adds up to the same thing. Certain issues that most Americans think, oh, that just crosses the line. And it seems like this business of, you know, the bathrooms and a man deciding he's a woman and frightening the lady and the YWCA, it
is powerful. You're right. It's red meat for the Trump base, right? It might incite them to vote. Frankly, I think those folks are
voting. And Ron DeSantis is building his whole presidential campaign the whole wokeness issue.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that while that is a good strategy by the Republicans, there's nothing that the Democrats or progressives can do to counter it, because the Republicans are going to hammer that lie that there's somehow danger posed by trans people living their lives and, for example, going into bathrooms to pee or changing at the YWCA. They're gonna create these stories that indicate that there's some sort of danger or peril out there, no matter what the Democrats say. So the only thing and the only moral thing that the Democrats or progressives can do is stand with trans people and say, we support you wholeheartedly. We obviously recognize that you're no threat to society. You just want to be functioning members of society who are accepted. And this lady who is, you know, I would guess probably in her 50s or 60s, who is in this YWCA, she's in the same situation as all the people who were...
Oh, this was a 17-year-old.
The 17-year-old was the woman
complaining
who
about,
saw, but the, right, exactly. The trans woman...
Oh, I thought you were talking about the complainant.
Yeah, who's just trying to use the pool and the locker room. Right. What exactly is she supposed to do? Just like in all those bathroom bills situations where you think about, I don't know, the disadvantaged, marginalized group, the trans person, who you say... Well, who is presenting as a woman to the world, was she supposed to go into the men's room? Isn't she just as much or in a lot more danger from people who might tell her that she's in the wrong place or not like that she is there or attack her because she is generally a marginalized person in America who is constantly the victims of attack and abuse? Or is it really the victims, are really the true victims in this situation, the cis women who have to put up with the existence of a trans woman in their space? Oh my God, the humanity, I'm tearing my hair out. It's so terrible. You have to look at someone in a locker room, whereas that person risks going into a man's space, presenting as a woman and being,
attacked, assaulted, murdered, as happens all the time in America. Trans people are constantly murdered just for being trans by transphobes. They are the victims.
It's unbelievable, Connor. We've solved two major problems today. Alec Baldwin and transgender rights.
We are wizards.
Well, we're going to see if you're a wizard, because when we come back, we're going to play America's favorite game show, Guess the Verdict, and we'll just see how you deal with the case that we're calling the case of the philanderer versus the phone company.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
This is Too Many Lawyers. I'm Royal Oaks.
And I'm Connor Oaks.
So it's time of the podcast, Connor, where we play the game, Guess the Verdict. I give you the facts of a real case, and you get to guess the outcome. Are you ready?
I am ready, but I will just say right off the bat, this was teased as the case of the philanderer and the phone company.
Yes, right.
And I just want to say to the viewers out there, I don't know the facts yet, but I will be even-handed. And if I come down on the side of the philanderer, I don't want to see any comments talking about how I am condoning the disruption of the American family, because I am approaching this from a galaxy-sized brain perspective of the legal genius who is approaching. All I bring to this table is legal analysis. I cannot be bothered to make moral judgments.
See, I thought you were just going to say you hate the phone company, but you
know. Oh, I do also hate phone companies. If it's Spectrum, they lose, period. That's it. I hate them, and I will burn them down.
Well, it's not Spectrum. Okay. So here's the story. A Los Angeles man told his cell phone company, hey, would you please mail all my bills to the office? And don't give copies of the bills to anybody but me, okay? Ixnay on the regular thing.
Very suspicious.
His wife calls up the phone company and says, oh, could you give me the bills, the phone bills, please?
Thank specifically you the phone records of who he's been texting or
and
sexting?
So the company promptly sent her the copies.
Oh, no.
Yeah, in spite of what he said. She notices, reviewing carefully, line by line, that he has been talking with his girlfriend.
Yeah.
And so she divorces him.
Oh, no.
What happens? The man sues the phone company for negligence. Mm. Now, he did ask them, and they said, oh, sure, we won't give them to anybody
else.
That's
very specific.
Yeah, so what do you think his chances are in court against the phone company?
Yeah, so we in America have a little thing called contract law, where you make agreements with people, and then you are required to abide by those agreements. So the first question, of course, in a legal analysis world is, what does this guy's phone contract say, right? Does this contract say that the phone company could disclose information about who he's calling to other
people? Well, we don't know
people,
what was in
right?
the contract, because the ex-wife burned down his house.
Contract inside. But most of the time, the phone company's contract is going to say something like, we won't give your information to anybody else, right? In the same way that when you have Google as your email provider and you have a Gmail address,
right,
and you click those terms of service, they say some things like, oh, yeah, and we'll keep it secret. And even if somebody asks really, really nicely, unless they're law enforcement or something, we're not going to hand over your emails to a random person. You have a password that protects you, right? The wrinkle in this is that it's his wife. So suddenly the phone company has a better argument, absent the phone call that he made earlier, got a better argument to say, look, your wife calls. There's a strong presumption that it's not like this is your medical records and we got to, you know, abide by HIPAA or something. There's probably not
and
a.
And it's not like he said, I'm a cheater. Don't you dare give this to my wife.
Right. He didn't. Wait, hold up. He sort of did. and so the question in that situation with just absent, the phone call from him, I'm tipping phone company here. I'm going to say, look, if the wife calls up and says, I want the bills, and she's also on the plan, she's probably got a phone on the plan. The same thing. If he's texting, she's texting. You know, it makes sense that the phone company would handle the bills. The fact that he called and said, I'm the only one who gets these records, that is a request by him to change the deal, right? To change the contract, right? And if you accept that contract change, that modification, as the person on the other side of a contract, the phone company in this case, if
and then he takes actions, sexting, in reliance, reasonable reliance on you having agreed to a modification of the contract, that is a legally binding situation, right? You can't be, changing the, you can't be undoing changes to the terms of a contract, right? If you and I agree to buy, I'm going to buy 100 of your widgets at $5 each, and then before the contract is executed, I call you up and I say, I want them delivered Wednesday, not Tuesday, and you say, okay, and then I reasonably rely on that, and then I change the date that I have my warehouse reserved, and then you show up on the original date and say, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't implement the change to our contract, I'm going to be able to sue you and get my damages for my loss here, right? So all of this is normal contract principles. And then we get to the reality that this ends up in front of a decider, a judge or a jury, who makes a decision not based on any of that legal crap that we all lawyers like to sit and, you know,
you'd hope the judge would make a decision based on the legal crap.
Absolutely not. They definitely don't. In this situation, whenever it gets into people behaving badly about sexual relations, inevitably, the law goes out the window. Who cares? All that matters is he's the bad guy, and so he loses. That's going to be it. The finder of fact in this situation is going to be so—it's going to be so impossible for them to get past the fact that this guy cheated on his wife, and you know, is paying his comeuppance for it, that he goes down in flames.
So it sounds like you're leaning toward the phone company winning.
Yes, I did the legal analysis, and we arrive at man wins. And then I do the feelings analysis, and we end up with the phone company wins.
For a long time, you were into IRA,
but
then you were into Iraq.
Yes.
And those of you who have been to law school know Iraq is issue, rule, analysis, and conclusion. Mm-hmm. You use that principle for every law exam, every bar exam, and you gave us a lot of IRA there.
I did.
Then the C, the conclusion, came at the end.
And it was.
And guess what? You're right.
Yes.
Absolutely. The lawsuit was dismissed. And this is what the judge said.
Yeah.
The court wrote that the phone company was not to blame. Instead, these are the words of the judge, and this is how he sounded. Plaintiff's philandering and indiscriminate use of his cellular phone caused the marriage to go up in smoke, end quote. So you may sound, this is a crotchety old Walter Brennan kind of guy.
That was a good impression of him. Yeah.
According to you, he made the right call.
Hey, you know, well, I mean, not legally, but who cares, right? The law is not real. It's all made up. The idea that there's some eternal code of law that determines right and wrong, it doesn't exist. It's consensus.
And your batting average is intact.
Yes.
So, all right. Great job, Connor. And great job, everybody. Surviving this podcast, I think we're about 153 or 4 episodes in.
You set a world record.
I think so. All right, have a great week. We'll see you next time on Too Many Lawyers.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.